Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery, for Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Vansir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Harav Mir Kahana, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I just want to say that we seem to be on the verge of this nuclear agreement with Muslim terrorist Iran, God forbid, a nuclear agreement which will pave the way for Iranian nuclear bomb making, God forbid, for them to develop nuclear bombs, even without any serious sanctions. So this is a tremendous threat to the survival of Israel. It's a tremendous threat to the United States. And we don't see an Israel and an Israeli leadership that is willing to take action, even when there is such an existential threat to the survival of millions of Jews. Millions of Jews, God forbid, could be murdered in a nuclear terrorist attack. And despite this unbelievably serious situation, the danger of a nuclear holocaust, God forbid, Bibi Netanyahu, the coward, the fraud, the liar, is doing nothing except complain about it and make speeches. Speeches and complaints will get Israel nowhere. The only hope is to militarily destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. Bibi obviously doesn't have the guts to do it. He's hopelessly weak and cowardly and appeasing. He's the worst type of nightmare for us. And the other people who are running in Israeli politics are the same as him. There's no question about that. The only one in Israeli politics who has said that Israel should go in and destroy the nuclear program immediately was Moshe Feiglin. He said we should ignore the United States, ignore Obama, and go in and take care of it militarily. Moshe Feiglin has said that. He's good on that issue. And here in the United States, Ted Cruz, of course, became the first Republican to announce his candidacy for the presidency. He's the first major party candidate, the first candidate in either the Democrat or Republican parties to announce. And he has said, Ted Cruz has said, that this type of agreement may force the next president in 2017 to militarily strike Iran. In other words, he's talking about militarily striking Iran, that the United States should militarily strike Iran. He's speaking about this, Ted Cruz. So, obviously, if he got elected, that could solve this problem and save us from a terrible catastrophe. I hope that Iran doesn't develop nuclear bombs before then, or that it isn't too late before then. And I hope that, in fact, someone like Ted Cruz or Ted Cruz himself does get elected to the presidency, because if not, we're in very serious trouble. Saudi Arabia is already saying that they're going to develop nuclear bombs and you're going to have a nuclear arms race, God forbid. It's going to be just a nightmare beyond words. You'll have a dozen Muslim terrorist, Jew-hating, America-hating regimes in the Middle East, all in a nuclear arms race, all racing to develop nuclear weapons. By the way, Ted Cruz, even though he seems to be a long shot, what a great announcement speech he made. He went to Liberty College, Jerry Falwell's old college, and he made his announcement, and he made such a fantastic announcement speech. I mean, it was really great. And, you know, the evil left-wing news media did everything they could to try to hide the fact that Ted Cruz's speech was absolutely brilliant. I mean, the guy got up there, Ted Cruz, he spoke for more than a half hour, no notes, no teleprompter. He didn't need the teleprompter that Muslim affirmative action piece of garbage Barack Hussein Obama always uses, and that Hillary Clinton always uses. No teleprompter. Just on his own, extemporaneously, speaking for 30 minutes. Every sentence came out perfectly. Just all the applause lines, the tone of the speech. You know how difficult it is for over 30 minutes to make a speech and not make mistakes and get all of the subjects in? I mean, he packed in maybe 100, 150 subjects into that speech. And everything was in perfect order and everything came out perfectly. It was just an incredible performance. This guy would be an absolutely awesome candidate if, God willing, the Republicans for once became sane and nominated someone like him. He is just so talented and such a great speaker and such a great debater. I really wish that Republicans would be sane for a change and nominate him, because he is a really rare example of a truly principled, moral leader, a strong leader, and a fantastic speaker, a fantastic debater with a brilliant mind. I mean, he's a genius. He's a genius. Look at the way he remembers 100 or 150 different subjects and belts out those lines perfectly, one after another, for more than 30 minutes. Who can do this? Who can do things like this nowadays? I mean, this is just brilliant. So, you know, we're supporting Ted Cruz for president. I don't know if he's going to win. I know the odds are against him, but we're supporting him. He is very worthy of our support. And again, he has said that Iran developing nuclear bombs is the number one threat to America's survival and America's national security, and it would be his number one priority to stop that at all costs. And he has said that the next president may have to take military action against Iran to stop it. So he's saying all the right things. He is making the right moves and saying all the right things. I just hope and pray that somehow he becomes president, because prime minister, we're not going to get a good Israeli prime minister anytime in the near future. The Jews of Israel, unfortunately, keep electing the same scum to these leadership positions. I mean, they're our brothers and sisters. We love them and we want to protect them, but they're stupid. They are so stupid when it comes to their own survival. It's beyond belief. And they're endangering the survival of the whole Jewish people. Anyway, that's the situation. That's the situation this week. We have this very serious threat from Iran. And of course, I don't have to tell you that Bibi Netanyahu already has backpedaled and changed all the promises he made in the campaign, that all the dumb Jews, all the hopelessly dumb Jews believed again. In every campaign he does this, and the hopelessly dumb Jews always believe him. He's not going to freeze settlements now. As soon as the election's over, once again, he's freezing all the settlements. We have to have the right to build in Jerusalem, he insisted. If we can't live in Jerusalem, then where can we live? Where can Jews live if they can't even live in Jerusalem? And meanwhile, he's blocking, as soon as the election's over, he's blocking the building of 1,500 new units in Jerusalem. He worries about the Arabs going to the polls in the last video he does before the campaign. Arabs are going to the polls. Let's get out and vote. And then he apologizes after the campaign is over. He apologizes to the Arabs for insulting them. These people want to destroy the Jewish people. They want genocide, and he's apologizing to them. This putz. And then, of course, saying he's against the Palestinian state before the election. And as soon as the election's over, within hours of the election being over, immediately reversed himself and said, no, he's in favor of a so-called two-state solution, of the national suicide solution for Israel. On every single issue, caving in, on every single issue, without exception. And the Jews never learn. Never learn. And so, you know, we have a tough fight ahead of us. But, you know, the election did prove one thing. At the end, what did Bibi do? Bibi was running like a Kahanist. He was saying, the Arabs are voting. Come on, get out and vote, because the Arabs are coming out to vote. You want the Arabs to get in? You want the Arab votes to count? In other words, he was openly running against Arab voting and the Arabs in Israel. It was obvious what he was saying. And it worked, and it got the Jews of Israel to vote for him. I'm telling you that our message will sell. If we only had the resources we need, our message would sell. If we have the right person with the right message, it will sell in Israel. Israeli Jews are not like American Jews. American Jews are self-hating, intermarried, disgusting, wimpy, pathetic, Jews who are embarrassed of their Jewishness. That's most American Jews. Israeli Jews, most of them want a right-wing leadership, and they would respond if there was a persuasive right-wing leadership being offered. This is the frustration we feel all these years, because we could do it if we only had a chance. If we only were given a chance, we could do it. So we're going to try to make that difference. We're in touch with people in Israel, as I've said, and we're doing videos. You could see this past week. We did 2 more videos in Hebrew and 2 more in English. We're getting our message out. And we're going to warn the people of Israel. We've got to do it as much as possible. We need your help as much as possible because this is such a critical time. We need your help with our campaign in Hebrew and with our campaign in English. Our campaign in Hebrew to wake up the Jews of Israel. Our campaign in English to influence the presidential election next year. And to also wake people up in the United States. And so, there are at least 4 things you can do to help us. Number one, we need your prayers. Please pray for us. Pray for our success. That's very important. Second, we need your help with our videos. When you see us put up videos in English and in Hebrew, even if you don't speak Hebrew, in English and in Hebrew, make sure to promote those videos on YouTube and on Facebook. Do everything you can to promote the videos and spread the word about the videos on YouTube and on Facebook. Third, join our great news pages. Well, if you don't speak Hebrew, of course, the Hebrew news page is not going to mean much to you, even though it's an excellent news page. But you can certainly join our English news page that Shlomo has put together and be active on it. Comment on it. Be active on it. Go to the news page. Go to the news page several times. You can go several times a day because it's updated all the time. Shlomo is constantly putting in articles and videos. I mean, just great material on that page. You will be much better informed. You'll be a much better person if you go to that news page at least once a day. You will learn things that you won't learn anywhere else because Shlomo collects stuff from dozens of different sources and puts it there all in one place for you. It's essential that you go to that news page. And spread the word and make sure that news page becomes successful. The JTF.org news page on our main page. It's JTF.org. And finally, last but not least, the 4th thing is, of course, we need financial support. That's our downfall. If we had financial support, we could be the ones warning the Jews of Israel before the election instead of Bibi the phony. We, the real loyal Jews who would stand by our principles and who would give Barack Hussein Obama a gift that he would choke on after the election, that animal, we could be the voice that warns the Jews of Israel if only we had enough support. The more support we get, the more Jews we reach with our message and the more people we're going to reach in the United States and in Israel with the English and the Hebrew videos at this critical time. This is an urgent time. The more support we get, the more people we reach and the stronger we are and the better off Israel is, the better off the world is. Checks, money orders, cash donations sent to our post office box, of course, make a big difference. God bless the great JTFers that are doing that. And of course, people can donate online with their credit card if they wish. If that's more convenient, just click on the donate button on our Hebrew main page. Our Hebrew main page is hayamin.org. That's hayamin.org on top. In English, you see the donate button, and you click on that, and in a couple of minutes, you can easily make a donation through PayPal to help us with our activities. So, it's a critical time. We have a lot ahead of us. We do have a chance. We do have a chance to make a difference if we all fight together like a team, if we all do our job, if everybody does their job, and we fight together and fight like your life depends upon it. Fight with us like your life depends upon it because it really does. More than you realize, it really does. Not just in this world, but in the next world. Fight with us because this is a critical time. Help us. Help us to save Israel from these terrible leaders. Help us to get a decent president like Ted Cruz in the White House next year. I know that's going to be hard to do, but we're going to try our best. Help us at the very least. Help us to educate huge numbers of people with the videos we're going to do. Remember, Our videos get, in a presidential election, our videos get hundreds and hundreds of thousands of views. So we have a real chance here to do some real educating here. It's our chance now to wake people up. Whether Ted Cruz wins or loses, God willing, we hope he wins. But regardless, everybody who sees our video, it's good when we have a chance to wake people up. Help us, and together, if we fight as a team, with God's help, Bezrat Hashem, with God's help, we can make a difference, and hopefully we can eventually save the Jewish people and bring redemption to the Jewish people, God willing. Okay, now let's go to our questions from our great JTFers, and we start out with Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, discuss the following scumbags, Suja Boy, J. Cole, ICP, and Wiz Khalifa, all of them hip-hop morons, wouldn't you agree, unquote. Absolutely. Every single one of them are indeed morons. Every single one of them involved in hip-hop, rap, all the disgusting, annoying jungle rant, so-called music that isn't even music, and every single one of them involved in something immoral and terrible and something to degrade society. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. Now, Righteous Indian Gentile writes, and I quote, why do many historians try to claim that most of the world Jewry was protected safely in Muslim empires and everything worsened after Israel creation, unquote? Because these are anti-Semitic so-called historians who are left-wing university-trained so-called historians. Some of them are self-hating Jews. And these are the same people that tell us that Islam is a wonderful religion and Islam is a peaceful religion and the Muslims are wonderful. And they tell us everything worsened after Israel's creation because they're against the existence of a Jewish state. The Jewish people don't have a right to their own country. These are the same people who will defend the right of Muslims to have 66 countries, most of them large, many of them unbelievably wealthy with massive oil reserves. The Muslims have 66 countries. The Jews have one tiny little country. And these Jew-hating animals are against the right of the Jewish people to their one little Jewish homeland. So, of course, you know, this is pure Jew hatred. It's pure Jew hatred, but thank God we know better and we're going to spread the word about what the truth is. That's our role in this world. That's why we're in this world. That's our purpose in life. Thank you, Righteous Indian Gentile. And we go now to Joe Gutfeld, who writes, Shalom Chaim, why don't you call any of us who submit a question great anymore? Happy Passover to you and your family, unquote. Well, you know that I think very highly of my fellow JTFers. I mean, I genuinely have great affection for my fellow JTFers, which is why I use the term great all the time before. But I felt that I was using the word great so often that it began to lose meaning. I didn't want it to lose meaning. But of course, I was using it because I do have, a lot of affection for my fellow JTFers, and I wanted to express that by calling them great, but I hope that they see that I feel that way, even though I don't want to overuse the term great. I still feel that way, and I always will feel that way. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld, and we go now to Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, is the WZO, World Zionist Organization, WZC, World Zionist Congress, an irrelevant organization, unquote. No, they're actually an organization that does harm. They do much more harm than good. All of these establishment organizations promote evil leaders. For instance, the World Zionist Organization, look at who the leaders were. Chaim Weizmann, who Yimach Shmo, who was in favor of the Holocaust, was literally a traitor who favored the Holocaust. He said, millions of Jews are dust on the wheels of history. They must accept their fate. We don't want them turning our Tel Aviv into a low-grade ghetto. In other words, the Jews of Europe were not good enough to come to Israel. They weren't good atheist socialists like Chaim Weizmann. So he didn't want them there. They're too religious. They're too Jewish. That animal was one of the heads of the WZO. David Ben-Gurion, Yimach Shmo, the other animal who murdered Jews on the Altalena and who murdered Jews by having Haganah members turn over Irgun members to the British to be hanged. And David Ben-Gurion also, of course, during the Holocaust, did everything he could to collaborate with the British against against the rights of Jews to come into Israel. He agreed with Chaim Weizmann. He didn't want the Jews in Europe to be saved from countries like Poland and Hungary. And I could go on and on with Kastner and how they collaborated with the SS in Hungary. Just unbelievable, the history of these people. He was also the head of the WZO. And Nachum Goldman, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, extreme leftist who was against, who actually said at one point that he didn't think we needed a Jewish state. He was the head of the WZO. So you have a history here of the worst type of evil filth. And not only do they promote evil leaders, they promote traitor establishment groups like B'nai B'rith, and they promote traitor policies. So WZO and all these establishment organizations are terrible. If they went out of business, it would be a great blessing for the Jewish people. If they all literally went out of business, it would be the best blessing for the Jewish people. The Jewish people would be much better off without them. Binyamin now writes, speak about Tel Aviv city government. Tel Aviv city government is a radical left city government because Tel Aviv is a radical left city. Most of the people in Tel Aviv are extreme leftists. I mean, look at what they've done. Bibi also did this. 61%, according to the government statistics, 61% of South Tel Aviv are African illegal aliens, just from Africa. Forget about the other illegal aliens. I mean, it's unbelievable what they've done. It's unbelievable what they've done. And Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud, of course, allowed this to happen. They refused to go in and remove these people, as we would. We would throw them all out of the country without asking questions. Out. And if any of them resisted, we'd shoot them and kill them. And believe me, that would solve the problem of illegal aliens in Israel. Tel Aviv's leftist government are just the most hideous, extreme left-wing people. And, you know, it's a city that is a symbol of degeneracy in the left. And it would be heavily depopulated if we took power, because not only would we throw out all of our enemies, but even a lot of the self-hating Jews there, I think they'd leave the country if we took power. I don't think the gays and the other leftists and the other disgusting people in Tel Aviv, I think a lot of them would leave the country. If Chaim Ben Pesach were prime minister, I don't think they'd want to stay. I think they'd leave. And that would be good for Israel as well. Binyamin now writes, three, speak about eshelonline.org. Did you know about Eshel before I posted it? Unquote. Eshel is an organization that tries to legitimize homosexuality and make it acceptable, and actually pretends that they have Orthodox Jews involved, and they may have people who call themselves Orthodox Jews are involved, but it is a hideous organization that tries to justify that which Hashem, which God says is a toeva, is an abomination. Whether people like it or not, the creator of the universe says this is an abomination, and the worst possible penalties in the Torah. We have the worst possible penalties for people that engage in this type of behavior. And they are trying to legitimize it. They are pure evil. An evil organization. Did I know about them? I think I vaguely saw some of their stuff. I didn't know that much about them. I checked when I saw you put up a post on the forum. I saw the forum and then I checked and looked and saw what they're doing and said, wow. I only knew very vaguely. I think I might have seen something vaguely about them in the past. I didn't know that much about them until you put up your post on the forum. Thank you, Binyamin. And we go now to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, one, good, bad, and ugly of Larry King. Larry King, who's been married 8 times. He actually got married to people. He actually, in several of the cases, he got married by saying, if you want to be on my show, you have to marry me. As a condition for going on a show, to be a guest on a show, he demanded that these women marry him. He is such a sick, self-hating Jewish animal. I mean, the lowest of the low. Of course, he supported Yasser Arafat. He said, you know, he said, oh, it's so wonderful to be Jewish and be friends with Arafat. He supported Arafat, supported all the Jew killers, puts all the anti-Semites on his program. The lowest of the low. And Mark Levin. Mark Levin was the chief of staff for the Jew-hating Attorney General Edwin Meese. That's the guy that put poor Jonathan Pollard in prison forever. God forbid, I hope Jonathan Pollard gets out. But Jonathan Pollard has been in prison now for 30 years, thanks to Edwin Meese, that Jew-hating animal. And even though he was Attorney General for Ronald Reagan, he happened to be a Jew hater, Edwin Meese. Some of Reagan's appointees, like James after Jews, Baker and Edwin Meese were Jew haters. And Meese was a real Jew hater, and Mark Levin was his chief of staff. And that's why when someone called him and asked him, should Jonathan Pollard be freed, he refused to support Jonathan Pollard. He refused to say that Jonathan Pollard would be freed. He said, that's a decision that the president has to make. That's a decision the president has to make. And, you know, refused to support Pollard, this filthy pig. And he is a pig. I mean, he has this position with millions of people on the radio. It's going to hurt him if he supports Pollard. You have Gentile senators and ministers and pastors and other people coming out in favor of Pollard. And this guy is afraid to come out in favor of Pollard, this pig. It's going to hurt him if he comes out in favor of a Jew who's rotting in prison for 30 years. Now, he does take pro-Israel stands now because the Republicans and the conservatives and the Christians, the evangelical Christians, have become pro-Israel. So it's popular with his audience. So he does take pro-Israel stands, and he does say John Kerry is an anti-Semite, and he does say Barack Hussein Obama is the worst threat to Israel to the Jews since the 1930s. So he makes statements that seem to be pro-Jewish. But he himself exhibits no Jewish identity. He does his shows on Shabbat and on the holidays. He never mentions his Jewish identity, never mentions his Jewishness. You know, he makes pro-Israel statements because his audience is pro-Israel. Unlike Michael Savage. Michael Savage very often goes against Israel, even though his audience is pro-Israel. Michael Savage is even worse than him. But he has no, Mark Levin has no Jewish identity. Whatever stands he takes are because he's like a patriotic American on the right who's not Jewish anymore. That's the way he acts. Jews are not supposed to assimilate and mix in. If he was a Gentile doing that, that would be fine. That would be wonderful because America is a country for the Gentiles. But for the Jews to do that, that is not acceptable. That is not acceptable. I don't even know if he's married to a Jew. Okay, Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager. He was raised as an Orthodox Jew, left Orthodox Judaism, condemned Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik VeKadosh Livracha, and studied Arabic because he wanted to learn. He wanted him to have good conversations and dialogue with the wonderful Arabs. So he studied Arabic. Hebrew he doesn't know, but he wanted to learn Arabic. And he left Orthodox Judaism, condemned Rabbi Kahana. I mean, just low. Low, 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 as far as I'm concerned. I mean, another pseudo-conservative, another one of these pseudo-conservatives. Bob Grant. Bob Grant was a vicious Jew hater. He used, after Rabbi Kahana was murdered, he said, the late and unlamented Rabbi Kahana, he used to say over and over again on his show. In other words, he was happy about the murder of Rabbi Kahana. Need I say more? I mean, just a phony, hypocritical, low-life Jew hater. So unfortunately, all the names you've given me, I've had bad things to say about all of them in different degrees of bad, of course. I wouldn't say Mark Levin. I wouldn't curse Mark Levin. But the other three, I think I would. And even Dennis Prager, I'm not going to curse him. Larry King definitely would curse. Arafat's buddy, I definitely would curse. You know, married 8 times and all the filthy things he's done. Larry King, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. Bob Grant, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. The other two I'm not going to curse, but I have major problems with their behavior. Dr. Dan now writes, too, what happened to Dr. Mehdi? Oh, that's a long story. Dr. Mehdi, he was the head of the Arab organizations here in the United States. He walked around with a baseball bat saying he's going to use it if he sees anyone in the JDL. He's going to use the baseball bat on them. So I brought a baseball bat with me. There was a debate. I brought a baseball bat with me, and I saw him. I happened to see him in the parking lot. So we literally started fighting with each other with the baseball bats. You know, and of course, I was in my early 20s. I was much faster than him, and I was always very fast. You know, I'm so skinny. I was always very fast and very flexible in my movements. So, you know, he was no match. You know, he tried to hit me with the baseball bat, and I got him first. You know, I blocked him. I blocked it and hit him first and hit him, you know, gave him a couple of good whacks with that baseball bat. And then he claimed that his back was broken by the JDL, and he was in the hospital screaming, JDL dogs! JDL dogs! You know, so that's an incident that happened between me and Dr. Mehdi. A eulogy for the victims of the Midwood fire is the next part of Dr. Dan's questions here. Yeah, that was such a horrible tragedy. Seven little children, little Jewish children, religious Jewish children, from a wonderful family, murdered. When I say murdered, they were killed. They weren't murdered, but they were killed in that terrible fire. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy. People use that as an excuse to say that we shouldn't have the Shabbat heater. That's, you know, to heat the meals. That's complete nonsense. It's used millions and millions of times, and there's never any accident. You can have an accident with anything. You can have a mishap with anything. It's complete nonsense. Hashem has his reasons for doing certain things, and this is a horrible, horrible tragedy. And our prayer should go out to the parents. You know, the mother is very ill. She's in the hospital because she was also burned in the fire. And she had another daughter. She had eight children, so the other daughter survived. So her and the daughter, we have to pray for their refuah shlema, for their complete recovery. And in addition to that, of course, we have to pray for the poor father, you know, who buried seven of his little kids. A terrible, terrible tragedy. These are things that happen sometimes in this world. But we have to remember something. You know, we have to remember something. This world and is just part of a long line of things that happen with people. It would be like if there was a movie. I think I told this story on the program last week. I think I did. If there was a movie that was 90 minutes long and someone watched the movie, it's 90 minutes long, somebody watches the movie and then afterwards wants to watch it again, and then their friend rings the doorbell after they're watching about 30 minutes and he says, come in, I want you to see 5 minutes of this movie and tell me what you think. And the person watches the five minutes of the movie, and the movie is 90 minutes of constant changes back and forth and a lot of excitement and drama and changes. And the person comes in, and during the 5 minutes that his neighbor who came in to watch with him for 5 minutes, the 5 minutes he saw is also a lot of drama and changes back and forth. And then after watching just 5 minutes, he asks his neighbor, he says, what do you think of the movie? He says, well, this is a 90-minute movie. You only showed me 5 minutes. How can I make a judgment? That's what this world is, and that's what this life is for us. This life is just 5 minutes out of a 90-minute movie, if that much. If that much. So we're not seeing the full picture. We see a lot of tragedies in this world, but we don't see the full picture. God is a loving God and a just God, and a compassionate God. And when we see terrible tragedies, there are reasons for it that we may not understand. But let's never forget that there, in the end, God is a just and loving and compassionate God. And these children are in a very good place now. I know they suffered terribly, and I know it's a terrible tragedy, but they are in a good place now. And, you know, and we should always remember, we should never, God forbid, never question the fact that God is a loving and compassionate God, even when terrible things happen. Of course, we pray that terrible things should not happen, that God should have mercy on us, but let's never forget that God is a loving and merciful God, even when we see terrible things happen. That's why we say, Baruch Dayan HaEmet, when someone dies. That means, blessed is the judge of truth, because there's a truth here that we don't see, that we don't understand, but that goes way beyond just the limited things that we see in this world. And Dr. Dan now writes, for Pesach lesson, okay, Pesach being the Passover holiday, well, one lesson we can learn is a lesson that our great leader, Rabbi Kahana, always spoke about. Moshe ve'Aharon went to the elders of Israel and said, let's go to Pharaoh and let's demand that Israel, that he let Israel go, that he free Israel, or that he at least let us go to the Sinai for 3 days and say our prayers and make sacrifices to God. Let's do that. And so let's go to Pharaoh and make that demand of Pharaoh. So all the elders agreed, the elders of Israel, all these sages and elders of Israel agreed, and they were going with Moshe and Aharon on the way to the palace to speak to Paro, to speak to Pharaoh. Moshe and Aharon are Moses and Aaron, by the way. So Moshe and Aharon, Moses and Aaron, are walking with all the elders of Israel. They're on their way, and they all agree, yes, we're going to go to Paro, we're going to go to Pharaoh, we're going to tell him, we're going to say, let our people go. And one by one, though, the elders started saying, oh, you know, this is dangerous. Paro may kill us. We're going against Paro. Ooh, this is risky. And one by one, they started dropping off and leave and and no longer walking behind Moshe and Aharon, behind Moses and Aaron, as they were on their way to the Pharaoh's palace. One by one, they were dropping off and leaving and leaving and leaving and saying, oh, this is too dangerous, too risky. No, I don't want to go. So as they're walking there, the number of people behind Moses and Aaron is getting smaller and smaller and thinning out until by the time Moses and Aaron got there, they were the only ones. They looked back and there were no elders with them anymore. All of the elders had decided, this is too risky, we're not going, you can go by yourself, you go and do it, this is too dangerous. And so, the lesson is that sometimes it's a difficult and lonely fight, fighting for the truth. Sometimes it is, but it's still worth fighting for the truth. And it's still worth standing up for the truth. And sometimes there are not many people like Rabbi Kahana who will stand all alone, no matter what, and stand for the truth. And when they do, we should support them. Sometimes Rabbi Kahana would look back and he was all alone and no one stood behind him most of the times in his life. But he stood for the truth and he fought for the truth because he loved the Jewish people. Despite that, he loved the Jewish people with all his heart. And he was a true example of a Jewish leader who was willing to go it alone when necessary, who was willing to go against the odds when necessary in order to fight for what God wants us to fight for in this world. So the lesson of Pesach is a lesson that particular incident in Pesach, in the beginning of the Pesach story, when they first were going to go to Pharaoh, is something that is relevant, I think, for every generation. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And we go now to Kalman ben Menachem, who writes, Reb Chaim, did Baruch Marzel used to work for Rabbi Kahana, unquote. Yes, Baruch Marzel was actually on Rabbi Kahana's staff when he was in the Knesset. And now Kalman ben Menachem writes, can you give us a Dvar Torah on this week's parasha? Thank you, unquote. This week's parasha is Parashat Stav. And the first half of it is a continuation of Parashat Vayikra from last week. It's about the sacrifices of the Holy Temple and explaining the sacrifices. Because the concept of animal sacrifices at the Holy Temple, even though most of us eat meat, so those who say, oh, this is cruel, I don't want to do, you know, it's a little hypocritical because we eat meat and we also eat meat. But the purpose of the animal sacrifices was actually to bring us, and it's, I don't have time to go into all the details of why this was so important and why it is so important, but it was to bring us closer to God. And also to turn the concept of giving up something that you have, like part of your livestock or something that's worth something to you, contributing it and giving it up for because of your belief and your faith is one of the reasons. It's just one of many, many reasons why the sacrifices took place. But the great thing about the Holy Temple was God's presence, Hashchinah. Hashchinah means God's manifestation in this world. Of course, God has no physical being or physical presence, but He can manifest Himself by showing clouds or by showing burning fire or the burning bush in front of Moses. I mean, there are different ways God can manifest Himself by making changes in nature so that you know His presence is there. God's presence, Hashchinah, was clear at the Holy Temple, in the first temple, the first Beit HaMikdash. Imagine the feeling knowing God is present. Imagine seeing the clouds from heaven descend upon the Holy Temple in a way where you know for sure that God is there, and you have no doubt that this is God, that the God of Israel is the God of the universe. You have no doubt. You see this with your own eyes, and there's no doubt. Imagine how that would change your life, just knowing God is there. This is the house of God. Look at this. The creator of the universe is here and he cares about us and he loves us and he's given us this house so that we could have a connection to him and we can be close to him. Imagine how that would change your life. It would change your life tremendously. First of all, you would have no doubts about God. We shouldn't have any doubts now. We shouldn't have any doubts. There's no question that there's a creator of the universe. We shouldn't have any doubts. But imagine just knowing and seeing this with our own eyes. The feeling of happiness and joy that it brought to people who went to the Holy Temple was so overwhelming. They had such magnificent experiences going there and seeing God's presence. It's one of many aspects of why the building of Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, is so important for the Jewish people. And that is something that the first half of this week's parasha speaks about. Thank you, Kalman. And we go now to Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, please tell me why you don't like Ron and Rand Paul. Is it because they have said they would cut financial aid to Israel? Is there anything else? Unquote. No, first of all, we're against so-called foreign aid to Israel, which is bad for Israel. Foreign aid to Israel is bad for Israel. Israel should become independent. So it has nothing to do with the foreign aid. I would suggest, Chicago Jew, because it's just too many things for me to explain on the program because of time constraints, look at our old videos. You can go on YouTube and just type in Ron Paul JTF or Ron Paul Chaim Ben Pesach. Just type it in and look at our old videos. Look at our videos going back years where we explain how Ron Paul and Rand Paul are Nazi Jew haters and would do everything they could to hurt Israel. You can go and look at that. Ron, by the way, Rand Paul supports Obama's negotiations with Iran. He's against sanctions against Iran. There is no question that he is a vicious Jew hater, just like his evil Nazi father was. And you can see it. You go to our videos, you'll see the interview that Ron Paul did on Iranian terrorist television calling Israel Nazis and saying that Gaza was like a concentration camp defending the Arab terrorist murderers, saying they're just making homemade bombs to resist. You could see all the videos. We show everything. So you can look at it and see what Nazi Jew haters they are. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we go now to Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, Allah Akbar, Middle Eastern History Month is almost here, unquote. Yes, unfortunately, you're right. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, compare Russia Today and Press TV. Are they one and the same? Well, they're both lying stations. Russia Today is Vladimir Putin's propaganda, Russian regime propaganda media site, and Press TV is the Iranian terrorist regime's media site. So one is for Russia and one is for Iran. They're both evil. They're both liars. They both want only terrible things. They both want to destroy America and Israel. But one represents Russia and one represents Iran. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, who was worse, Hitler of the Bible, Haman, or Stalin of the Bible, Nebuchadnezzar, unquote. Well, Nebuchadnezzar murdered far more people because Haman didn't succeed with his plot. But, they both wanted to destroy the Jewish people, that's for sure. Nebuchadnezzar was willing to do some of it physically and some of it spiritually by outlawing Judaism and doing things and making spiritual restrictions on the Jews that would have destroyed the Jewish people. Haman just wanted to exterminate the whole Jewish people in one day. They were both horrific. I don't know who was worse, but they were both absolutely horrific and committed the worst crimes against humanity and are burning in an extremely warm place and will always be burning. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. We go now to Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, Obadiah Shocher promotes barbarity in name of Torah, defends intermarriage, attacks halakha, calls death to Christians, praises Islam, why JTF supports him, unquote. I've never seen any of those things. I've never seen him write any of these things. So this is all news to me. The only thing I've seen him do, he has a YouTube channel in which he has almost 100 videos of Rabbi Kahana. Rabbi Kahana certainly didn't defend intermarriage, attack halakha, or call for death to Christians and praise Islam. So and praising Islam, he praises Islam. I've seen him put videos up against Islam and against Muslims and supporting Israel, and I've seen him write articles supporting Israel. So I don't know. I don't know what you're referring to. Maybe there are things I don't know about him, but the things I've seen about him, I haven't seen any of this. Maybe I just don't know. Maybe I don't know enough. Maybe I don't have enough facts, Smash Islam. But if you have facts, you can present the facts on the forum and you'll educate all of us. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we go now to Chabad Kahanes, who writes, and I quote, what do you think of backstabber and turncoat late JDL co-founder Bertram Zweibahn, unquote? You said it best. He was a backstabber. He was a turncoat and a fraud. He, together with Rabbi Kahana, created the JDL in 1968, but he was jealous because Rabbi Kahana was, of course, a great leader and a brilliant rabbi, and Bert Zweibahn was just an average run-of-the-mill lawyer. And so Rabbi Kahana, with his great charisma, automatically became the leader. And Bert Zweibahn didn't, and Bert Zweibahn was jealous and upset over that, so he did everything he could to fight against Rabbi Kahana, to try to destroy Rabbi Kahana. for decades. I mean, burning with jealousy, tried to destroy Rabbi Kahana, hated Rabbi Kahana. After the first couple of years of the JDL, he turned on Rabbi Kahana and hated Rabbi Kahana. A really disgusting individual. Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may the name of the wicked rot. Thank you, Chabad Kahanist. We go now to Uncle Bourbon, who is new on our forum. Welcome, Uncle Bourbon. Uncle Bourbon writes, "Hello, Chaim. Thoughts on traditional gender roles," unquote. Well, in some cases, I believe in traditional gender roles. In other cases, I don't know. It depends what it is. It depends also on what the biblical definition, you know, it depends on the biblical definition. Obviously, I think men should dress like men and women should dress like women. Men should behave like men and women should behave like women. There are differences between the sexes, and there's nothing wrong with that. And people, we should recognize that and celebrate the fact that there are differences between the genders. Does that mean that women can't be doctors or lawyers or leaders? Or no, I don't think that that means that. I think women can be brilliant scientists and doctors and lawyers and can contribute tremendously to society. But there are in certain areas there are differences between the genders, and we should recognize that. Thank you, Uncle Bourbon. We go now to EB22, who writes, and I quote, "What do you believe Bibi Netanyahu's actions as prime minister would be on the key issues that matter most to JTF if Ted Cruz was elected president of the United States," unquote. Well, I think that you would see an end to the freeze on Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, because Ted Cruz, I don't think, would pressure Israel not to have Jewish settlements. So I think Jews would be able to build again. And I also think that action would finally be taken on Iran, either by the United States or by Israel or by both, if Ted Cruz were president. So we could be saved from the danger of Iranian nuclear holocaust, and we would have Jewish building again in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, and we wouldn't have pressure to create a so-called Palestine state. That would make a tremendous difference for Israel. Tremendous difference for Israel, and that's why Ted Cruz would be a dream come true for us if he was elected president, God willing. Thank you, EB22. And we go now to Baltimore, who writes, and I quote, "What do you think of the hecklers interrupting Bill Cosby shows all over the USA, unquote? I agree with them 100%. I don't know what their background is or their ideology is, but Bill Cosby, because he's black, has gotten away with raping and drugging women and sexually assaulting women for decades, just because he's black. If he was a white guy, he would have been put in prison a long time ago. At least 34 women have come forward and said that they were drugged and raped or sexually assaulted by this beast, by this ugly, disgusting, big-nosed beast. At least 34 women, and he's got that big, flat, ugly, nose. Anyway, and I'm saying this because blacks are idolized today, and why, I'll never know. I'll never understand that. But they are. And this ugly piece of garbage was promoted by Jews, by the way, by self-hating Jews in Hollywood, and allowed to get ahead, and then protected and shielded because of the color of his skin. There should be no discrimination when it comes to attacks on women. Anyone who engages in this type of behavior deserves the most severe punishment, and Bill Cosby should not be allowed to hide behind his blackness in order to escape the consequences of his evil behavior. And that's what he's been able to do until this day. Thank you, Baltimore. And I want to thank... Oh, I'm sorry, there's we have Maimonides also is here. I didn't see Maimonides. Maimonides writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, how can Ted Cruz raise enough money for his campaign without selling himself out to big corporate interests," unquote. We're going to find out if he could do it. I hope he can. We're going to see. There's certainly enough money. The American people and small, medium-sized business people and other people who want America's economy to do well and who want a moral president, they can certainly give him enough money if they want to. The real big titans, the real big billionaires, of course, are not going to support him. And we're going to see if he can raise enough money without them. I hope he can. Thank you, Maimonides. And I want to thank everybody else for a program that I very much enjoy doing. Until next week.